Blog Talk Radio.
Let me tell you about something new. A new show called G's Power.
G's Power.
Real talk for real saints.
Are you ready?
And it's for real.
Welcome to G's Power Hour, live every weekday at 11:30 a.m. on Never Had It So Good Entertainment Network. Your host, G, will bring you informative and entertaining guests and a variety of topics in a way that you can absorb and enjoy. Listen in weekdays and call in at 516-387-1944. We love interaction. All shows can be downloaded if you miss one or found on iTunes the next day. G's Power Hour is powered by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network.
G's Power Hour.
Yeah.
Hey there, brothers and sisters, kings and queens, angels and saints. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to G's Power Hour. I'm Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. We've got a treat again this third Wednesday of the month. This is a busy week for us, but I like it that way. We are pleased to welcome back from CB Bistro, Chef George Ashford. Good morning. How are you, sir?
Good morning, G. How are you?
I'm doing well and always better when you are on board with us. So thank you for taking the time out again today. Really appreciate that.
It's our pleasure. Thank you. Thank you for
having
us.
Thank you. Oh, anytime. So, you know, we're in busy season. I would say coming up on busy season, but we're in busy season. We just got through celebrating Mother's Day, getting ready to celebrate graduations, Memorial Day, and we don't and other stuff. We don't want to forget about the papas out there. And so, Father's Day is coming up next month. It's the third Sunday of the month. And so while I've already started seeing in the stores where they've transitioned with the paraphernalia for Father's Day, but we want to make sure that he has a meal that he enjoys as well, that we have not forgotten him, because sometimes they get the short end, but we don't want that to happen this time. So give us an idea of how we can celebrate our fathers out there this year.
Well, there's so many wonderful dishes that you can prepare, and it can be very simply done at home and not expensive. One of my favorite dishes, especially in the summertime, spring summertime, is to prepare something that's light but also delicious and cost-effective also. At the Bistro, we do a variety of different items. And, of course, at CV Catering, preparation is all – it's all about the preparation, doing everything ahead of time as much as you possibly can, and then finishing on the day of execution. We feed approximately 4,000 people a week at our catering company. So it's all about preparation. You can't feed them that many people without being prepared. So one of the dishes that – I want to talk about today for dads and for everybody. It's that there's a codfish meal that's absolutely delicious. You can prepare that with a nice fresh cod. Again, you don't have to order it by order from the major purveyors, but you can order it also. You can pick it up at one of your box stores. It's a nice fish. It's a firm fish, and you can do a lot with it. And it's very delicate when you prepare it. One of the preparations for the codfish that I recommend is, first of all, it's a nice, thick, firm cut of fish. You can prepare it with a citrus seasoning. Citrus seasoning can be found in your grocery store. You have mojo citrus. You have a little bit of orange zest, salt, pepper. And to spice it up a little bit, if you have a little chipotle, you make a seasoning rub of that nature and put it all together with a little bit of olive oil, and you coat your fish in that. And now it's prepared. Now you're getting it ready to be served with on a iron skillet that you can char the fish on both sides and actually take it and set it off to the side. So it's going to be still uncooked in the middle, but you're going to finish it just before your guests arrive, and it makes a really, really nice dish. I would suggest serving that with some fresh vegetables. You have your grilled asparagus. You can prepare sweet peppers with it, a variety of sweet peppers sauteed. You can also have a nice grilled chicken with like a mojo marinade that you can prepare as a chicken fajitas to go with it, which makes a nice dish. You take sweet peppers. You're going to julienne slice them in strips. You can prepare your Vidalia onions, cut up into slices, and you're going to saute your Vidalia onions until they're nice and softened. The peppers, you're going to saute those also with a little salt, pepper, fajita seasoning. Set it to the side. Take your grilled chicken breast. You can marinate it in mojo seasoning, fajita seasoning, and a little bit of the, I use the adobe. Let that marinate for about a half hour, pad dry it, little olive oil, and it's ready for the grill. Nice combination meal. It doesn't have to be heavy for that all the time, but you can do a lot of different things with fresh ingredients. That's the key. And it's healthy. You know, so you're preparing the codfish, which is charred off, set to the side. Your fajitas are ready. After you grill the chicken fajitas, you set that to the side and let it rest a bit. You can always finish it in the oven if it's still not completely cooked. That's what we do a lot in the restaurants. We finish it in the oven. We grill the outside. So you're not getting all of that heavy charring on both sides. And then you set it to the side, put it in the oven, score it in the middle, see if it's completely cooked, moistened inside. You want it juicy, but you don't want it dried out. But at the same time, you want to make sure there's no pinkness to it. Let it rest for about 10 minutes, and then you can julienne slice it, which, again, in strips, like fajitas, and just put it off to the side. And now you have your finished codfish. You have your chicken fajitas with the roasted peppers and onions and nice grilled asparagus. Serve with a nice yellow saffron rice or white rice that can be prepared with a little bit of cilantro in it, fresh cilantro added to it. Makes a great, great, afternoon meal.
Yeah, that sounds like one from not just Dad, too. That sounds pretty good. But
yeah,
I wanted
it is.
To
and
ask
it's
you,
an excellent meal. Excellent.
But I wanted to ask you about something you mentioned in terms of the different types of seasonings. And I know some of those are already pre-mixed and ready for purchase out there. And I wanted to ask you, do you often use pre-mixed seasonings, or do you do your own? And is there a difference in terms of taste or how they work?
We actually do both. What I do, I order spices from actually at a wholesale company. It's Spice and Teas, but I purchase it wholesale. I'll bring in spices of saffron. I'll bring in fresh. The quality is there. I'll bring in a sea salt that has a hickory smoke sea salt. They also have a bacon smoked sea salt. With bacon, actual real bacon flavors that they smoke it with. Different types of sea. There's one that has a Chardonnay sea salt. So I do a lot of blending of my own, as well as I'll use some of the high quality in items. For example, there's a couple that I will purchase that are pre-mixed. They do a really good job. But by and large, we try to mix our own. And we bring in specialty type of seasonings so that you want those flavors to really pop. And in addition to that, we use a lot of fresh herbs. You can accent, for example, the rice with a fresh cilantro. We add that to the water at the end towards the end while it's steaming and kind of stir it into it. A little bit of fresh cilantro will give that rice a nice pop. We'll add the fresh cilantros and perhaps some tomatoes in a little chopped tomatoes in a balsamic vinaigrette. Also, you can add a little cilantro to that. You can add cucumbers to that. So you're having a nice flavor of mix, you know, of fresh ingredients. You know, so we use a lot of fresh herbs. We cook a lot with rosemary and thyme as much as possible.
I'm glad you mentioned also, too, in terms of when to add stuff like cilantro and stuff, because the temptation is just to toss it all in there at the beginning, you know, and let it do whatever it's going to do, and it doesn't come out the same at all. So it's good to know about adding those things at the end for some of us that aren't proficient in the kitchen. Good to know.
That's one of the secrets, actually, when you're working with fresh herbs, and we do a lot at CB Bistro, is to actually put the fresh herbs in at the end so that they're going to open up. You don't want them to necessarily cook the fresh herbs. You want the fresh herbs to accent the dish where it opens up the dish. We do a lot with rosemary. I just prepared a meal for with our CB catering company. We just did a meal out in Canterbury Conference Center in Oviedo yesterday, where we actually prepared a whole tenderloin of beef. The entire loin, obviously you trim the silver skin off of it, and we prepared it with olive oil. We use a seasoning blend that we made ourselves of granulated garlic. This would be also great for dad too, but if you're serving a larger group of 10 or more. We use granulated garlic. We use a cracked black pepper, sea salt. And then I took fresh rosemary and thyme, massaged that into the meat. We had a grill charred, you know, set at like a medium temperature, and just finished it on the grill, just where it's completely charred all the way around. So the use of the fresh herbs in that particular recipe, they was actually used as part of the marinade so that the herbs would actually get into the meat. And after charring it, you're letting it rest, you set it to the side, you let it rest, and we finish it in the oven. You don't want to overchar your meat. That's the secret. You know, you want your meat to actually rest. You want to take it out after you char the sides all the way around. You don't want to try and cook it completely to the middle. If you're whatever temperature you're trying to make, you don't want it to be completely finished on the grill, because now you're drying out the product. You know, you have a nice expensive piece of meat, a nice filet mignon, a whole loin. You don't want to dry it out. You want to finish it in the oven to the temperature that you desire. And that's one of the dishes that we prepared, along with the garlic roasted potatoes. We've added fresh whole garlic to the garlic roast potatoes and kind of chopped it a little bit and tossed it into it, the red skin potatoes after we sauteed them, and added a fresh little bit of chopped rosemary to that also towards the end. Makes it delicious, makes all the difference in the world.
One dish I wanted to ask you about that seems to be becoming more popular now in terms of a side is are riced vegetables, like cauliflower and some other things that are, or even creamed, that are being used in ways like, you know, substitute for rice, or in when it's creamed, I guess it's for substitute of mashed potatoes or whatever. And I was curious because there are some that come prepackaged in the freezer section, but in terms of doing your own, is there a secret to doing that? For example, when you're, I guess, trying to get the consistency that you want, is that something with the cauliflower, for example, that you do the cutting or I guess, I don't know if you cut or grate or how you do that before or after cooking the cauliflower?
Well, actually, one of the things that we do at CB Bistro is when we're preparing it, or CB Catering, is that we actually take the whole cauliflower. And, of course, you want to examine it, make sure it doesn't have any type of bruising to it, little dark spots. Mm-hmm. You want to get it as white as possible. And we trim it off of the stock. And then we take it and I break it up into smaller pieces, not really tiny pieces, because I like the coarseness of it. So it's just what you're looking to do as a matter of preparation. And so we break it down to smaller pieces, and then we take olive oil, and also you can have your different seasonings that you want. Whatever you like is what you want to prepare. But there's certain things that are going to help balance that cauliflower. So, again, we use olive oil, cracked pepper, salt. You can add a little paprika to it. Smoked paprika is really good. You can add a little bit of, if you like a little spicy, you can put a little bit of chipotle seasoning to it. And you take that, you put it in the oven, you put it on your roasting pan, or in a restaurant we would use a sheet pan, and you're actually going to slide it in the oven for about 375 degrees until it's tender. And then towards the end, you can take some grated Parmesan cheese and actually sprinkle on it. And you take that out, it's absolutely delicious. You have a wonderful side dish that will accompany anything that you want to prepare. And it's something different, but it's something that's very, very simple and easy to make. You can do the preparation ahead of time. Again, all of the things that you want to do when you're entertaining is to actually prepare as much as possible ahead of time. The peppers can be sautéed and onions can be sautéed for the fajita dish. The chicken can be, you know, obviously marinated. You can char off the codfish and just finish it in the oven. So everything is at a point that you're ready to assemble it. You're basically assembling everything when your guests arrive. So it looks like you just prepared everything in like 15 minutes. You're serving 10 people with a finished product in like 15 minutes. You're like a wonder person. So, you know, just to do that. So, yeah, that's one of the tricks. It's just preparation. And your seasoning, what we do, we prepare the different types of seasoning. When we're preparing granulated garlic, and we use a good quality granulated garlic and black pepper and sea salt, whatever mixture we're making, we blend those seasonings before we start to actually cook. So you want to have all your seasonings blended. Everything is ready to go. So you're just basically just executing at that point. And it comes together in a very beautiful way.
And do you have a suggestion for a beverage for Dad for his dinner?
Sure. For dinner. So if you're going to, you can make something refreshing like a nice sangria with that. You know, you can add, you can do, I would suggest a nice sangria. You can have your fruit that you can have ready for it. You can add the fresh oranges, slices. You can add cherries if you want. You can strawberries. You can make a little skewer of strawberries and blueberries. Add an orange inside of the sangria, and just add your little skewer of strawberries and blueberries on the side. So when you make your, you pour your sangria up, and you can just top it off with a little bit of club soda if you wish, and just pop in that skewer. It's very colorful. It's very light. It's refreshing. And if you want to kick it up a little bit, you can add maybe a little half a shot of bourbon to it too for that sangria, and it gives it a little pop to it.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
I may take Dad's dinner. So what about a dessert? And I also wanted to ask you, you were talking about, for example, having a group like 10 people or whatever. Are there any particular appetizers that you would suggest?
Sure. If you want something, I try to make an appetizer that's going to go with the meal. that's going to accompany a meal really nice. If you're preparing the meal that I had suggested for just like a suggested menu, you can start off with something light, like you can start off with fresh fruit. You can have sliced mangoes. And it's interesting because they have now that you can find in some of the box stores, they have like mangoes which are already canned. They're in a jar, but they're canned, and they're from a fresh state, and they're packed in juice instead of a lot of syrup. They also have pineapples, which are slices of pineapples, which are canned, and again, in a jar or in a container. You can have it fresh also in a container, and it does not have those different dishes. You can put the whole like a slice, a wedge of that already peeled and clean pineapple on a skewer. You can add a little smoked paprika to it. If you like a little spicy, you can take a little bit of chipotle seasoning and just hit it on the grill just for a second. You could do the same thing with the mango for just a moment. If it's a summer day, it makes a great, great fresh fruit. You're adding some different items to your menu. You can take a piece of lime, a wedge of lime, and actually squirt on top of the mango and the pineapple. Something light. I suggest something light for an appetizer. You can have a stuffed mushroom with crab meat. It's a really nice dish, not expensive and not difficult to make. Sounds expensive, but it's not. You're taking a nice a white cap mushroom that you'll find at your produce department, and you're just going to take the stem out of the cap, keeping the cap in totally intact. You're going to have take the stem. You're going to chop it up fine. Set it to the side. You can, at the bistro or CB Catering, we would use lump crab meat. You know, we order it already cleaned, so it's real lump crab meat. It's a high-quality product that we would actually break up into pieces as part of what we're going to make. If you want to make it for yourself and you don't want to have that expense, you can actually find, they have canned crab meat that you can find in like your regular grocery store. And it's a pretty decent product. You want to try to get something that has more form to it. But because you're using it in a appetizer, you strain off the juices. You're going to mix that with the chopped mushrooms, a little bit of mayonnaise, fresh thyme, chopped fresh thyme, salt, pepper. You can add into that a little bit of chipotle seasoning, a little bit of paprika, and you make a nice paste with that and add Parmesan cheese. And then you're going to take that mixture and you're going to stuff it back into the cap of the mushroom and let it set, put a little paprika on top, and just before your guests arrive, you have it on your roasting pan. You just pop it in the oven at 350 degrees. It's ready to go in 10 minutes. You take it out, you have a nice mushroom stuffed crab meat.
Crab meat stuffed mushroom.
Sorry,
that's okay. but you've got me ready to eat Father's Day dinner now.
You serve that with the grilled pineapple and then the mango on the side on the skewers with the little flavors,
mm-hmm.
and then you go into your main meal. That's a nice combination.
Oh yeah. Sounds good. Sounds good. So, how do we find you, Chef George? How do we contact you?
Well, you can contact me directly at 321-229-5786. And you can also make reservations for CB Bistro, which Jared Armstrong is performing this Saturday live with his band. And we have our bistro. Artwork and a full touchless buffet, and that starts at 7:30 to 10:30.
All right.
2295 South Hiawassee, across the street from the Metro West Golf Course, Suite 105A.
Okay. Thank you so much. I mean, like I said, I'm ready now. But you all will have to keep the link and listen to it again to get the recipes and the preparation from Chef George. But we thank you for your time, sir. You take care. You have a good evening.
Thank you so much, Dee, for having me.
All right. Take care. Be blessed.
You too.
And
bye-bye.
We are making a shift this week because, you know, Friday, third Friday of the month, we usually have Friday in the garden. But we're doing some things a little different this time around. So Robert Boughton is going to be on with us next after the break. So if you have questions or comments, the number is 516-387-1944. We're going to take a break now. G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. We'll be right back.
Over the past 60 years, Dove Beauty Bar's superior formula has remained unchanged. But when it comes to beauty, everything changed. Together, we redefined beauty. We said no to stereotypes and yes to every type. We let go of judgments and embraced what makes us unique. We're proud to have been there with you. Caring for you every step of the way. Here's to the next 60 years.
Having a wedding, reception, family reunion, planning a banquet, or some other fundraising event. Need to share your knowledge through a workshop or seminar. Or it's a difficult time and you need to plan a wake or repast. Let us help. At our gatherings, let us reduce the stress and make the occasion memorable, treasured. Call our gatherings at 407-968-9387 or email ourgatherings@yahoo.com. Let us help plan your special event.
Morning. Good morning. Yeah, it's still morning for a minute. But welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us. And we want to thank again Chef George Ashford from CB Bistro to help us get a handle on how we can prepare our Father's Day dish. And hey, I'm already sold, and I'm not a dad, but I'm good. But just to let you know, so tomorrow we're going to have Burton Kelso on for Tech Thursday. But if you don't get a chance to listen to him tomorrow, but you want to, or you want to get a preview of some stuff that he's talking about, he's got a Facebook Live event today at 2 o'clock called How to Protect Yourself from Bluetooth Hacking. So I'm going to try to post that on G's Power Hour Facebook page, but if not, you can all just look up Burton Kelso on Facebook. But, yeah, he's going to be on to talk about how to protect yourself from Bluetooth hacking today, 2 p.m. Facebook Live. And then, of course, you can always catch him live tomorrow at 11:30 on G's Power Hour. But in the meantime, we are going to talk a little bit about gardening today because we've got other things coming up tomorrow. And I may be jumping again because I asked Robert, could he come on today at noon? I don't know if he's on yet, but Robert Boughton is going to join us today. Hey, it's Wednesday in the garden, and we're talking with Robert Boughton today. Good afternoon. How you doing?
Oh, better than I deserve, I can tell you that. Thank you for having me on.
Oh, anytime. You're always welcome. So I want to ask you, and I don't know, it's just maybe me kind of gearing up, and I'm probably behind the game instead of ahead of the game, but I wanted to talk a little bit about, with Memorial Day weekend coming up, you know, there's a lot of things going on in addition to what Memorial Day is actually meant to honor. A lot of people, because it's a long weekend, try to get out in the garden, and one of the things that they probably have not done, at least with any regularity, is the cleaning of the tools or the prepping of the tools or the replacing of the tools. So I was wondering if you could go into that a little bit this morning or this afternoon.
Sure. Yeah, I'd be glad to. That's a really important part of the gardening puzzle. You know, we talk about when you should plant the seed for that and when you should water and all these things. But so much energy is spent using tools to prune or to dig the soil or to help pull out weeds. It would be so much easier if the tools were being maintained properly. And unfortunately, we don't think about it a lot. And it really would behoove all of us to make sure that our tools are sharp. I think it would be a good idea to start, first of all, with those. What tools do you need? I mean, if you're just starting out as a gardener and you go to one of the home improvement stores or a garden center and you look at all of the tools that are available, what do I need to buy? I'm just getting into this whole gardening thing. What do I need to buy? Well, I would encourage
you. Father's Day gifts, by the way.
You saw right through that, didn't you?
Uh-huh.
Saw right through that. Well, it's not only is it important for the people that use the tools, but it's important for the plants too. You know, I've done it. We've all done it. We've taken a pair of hand clippers and tried to cut branches that are much, much larger than they should be for a pair of hand clippers. You know, just as a general rule, we say any branch on a shrub or a tree that's less than half an inch, you'd use clippers, hand clippers. Anything half an inch to three quarters, you go ahead and use some loppers, you know, the long-handled loppers. And anything more than three quarters of an inch, you want to use some kind of saw. And it's important that although all of those things are sharp, because there's nothing worse than taking a dull tool and trying to cut a branch. And, you know, if it's dull and you cut it off, by the time you get done, the cut is all shredded and it's not very good. The bark is probably peeled back. And that just spells danger or, at the very least, gosh, that plant has a possibility now of getting some kind of pathogen into that wound. If it was a sharp cut, that wouldn't happen. So it's absolutely essential that you keep those tools sharp as you possibly can. And I know it's a little OCD probably, but I always sharpen my tools before I put them away. And that's a good rule. I know that, by the end of the day, you're out in the garden and it's hot, and you've gardened most of the day, and you just want to get into the AC and sip on a nice cool drink of some sort. The last thing you want to do is spend another 15 minutes sharpening your tools. But it's absolutely essential that you do that because you never know that when you're out in the yard, you're going to see something that needs to be pruned, and you're going to run into your garage or your shed, and you're going to grab something, and you're going to prune it. And if it's not sharp, it's not going to do a good job. Not only that, but once you've been gardening a while and you know that you're going to garden for a while, you know, it's something that you really want to do, then you want to start buying some tools that are a little more expensive than maybe you can buy at the home improvement store. So, for instance, if you're going to be looking at hand shear, you know, hand clippers, something you're going to be pruning roses or shrubs with, you want something that's going to be comfortable. You want it to be a tool that you know you're going to have around for a long time. And for hand clippers, there isn't a better pruner than a company by Felco, F-E-L-C-O. And the reason I like them so much is they make a quality aluminum tool so it doesn't rust. The blades are replaceable, so in case you happen to hit a rock or you hit a piece of wire or something while you're pruning and it makes a little divot in that blade, you can always replace it. Now, you're gonna probably be spending $50 or $60 for a Felco pair of pruners, but I've got mine that I use every time I go out into the garden, and they're every bit of 40 years old. I've replaced blades from time to time, but I still have those original pair of clippers. So if you know that you're going to be gardening for a while and you want to make your life a little easier, some hand clippers are going to be good. And as you see, when you go online, there's lots of different kinds. So just pick one you think will work well for you. It's a great, great Father's Day gift because he will really, really appreciate a nice thing. But we always sharpen them before we go, before we put them away, and spray them down with a little WD-40 so they don't rust. And I have tools that were my dad's tools, and they're probably, you know, like a good spade, a good round shovel. You know, if you take care of it and you treat it well, you don't try to pry up branch or, you know, roots that that hard to get hold of, you know, those shovels should last you a lifetime, especially now with the aluminum shaft, the aluminum handles that they have. There's no reason why they shouldn't last you a lifetime. I would caution your listeners, however, not to buy stupid tools. And you know, okay, what I mean by that? You know, you go online, you go to some of these. I use Gardner Supply catalog a lot. It's available for everyone, and they have lots and lots of different tools. But they also sell some really silly things, like a stainless steel spade, okay? Well, if you look at the price, you're looking at $125, $130. Well, between you and me, that's just stupid. Because a good $40 spade is going to do the same thing that a chrome-plated $130 spade is. So don't be crazy. Don't be a dummy. You know, find a good, solid tool. I recommend those that have the fiberglass handles, if you can, and they'll last you a lifetime. Just sharpen them with a file and oil them up, and they'll last you a very, very long time.
Well, that's good to know, and I was glad to get the tips on what tools you use to cut what, because me, I'm a danger with a pair of lopping shears. That's my go-to right there. But yeah, you've got to be mindful of what tool you use for what, and you are right too about doing the cleaning probably before you put up, like. For example, if I'm not, you know, out showing houses or whatever, Saturday's a good day for me to work in the yard, but I usually will cut it off, well, before it gets too hot. But also I usually cut it off if my husband's home in time for us to go to the movies. But I'm not looking at time to clean the tools. I'm looking at time to shower and change and get to the movies. So probably, you know, add maybe, I guess, an extra half hour, 20 minutes, to, you know, grab the tools that you've been using and clean them up before you put them away. That way, if you have to grab them, you know, kind of simultaneously, you know, all of a sudden for something that happens, let's say you have a storm and, you know, some branches start to hang and you need to go ahead and get those clipped, then, yeah, the tools are already ready to go. So,
Can I talk about a wheelbarrow for just a minute?
Oh, yeah, please.
Because, it doesn't sound interesting, but if you're going to spend, and I don't know how all of a sudden the wheelbarrows got to be so expensive, but I have a couple pointers for wheelbarrows. Number one, you need a wheelbarrow with a plastic body on it. Don't get the metal one, because the metal one is going to rust out in a few years. Even if you wash it out, and you clean it up, it's going to rust out. And then you've got to buy a whole new wheelbarrow. And they're not cheap anymore. So get one with a plastic body. Number two, and this is really, really important. Most of the tires on wheelbarrows, you have to put air in the tire. It's a tire with a tube inside, okay? The last thing you need when you're all ready and you're geared up on a Saturday morning to go out there and, you know, fight those weeds is to have to stop what you're doing and find the air hose to fill up your tire. They make solid core tires.
Mm-hmm.
Solid core tires. So you never, ever, ever have to put air in them, okay? And last but not least, try to find the wheelbarrow that it has fiberglass handles. So
okay.
I have a wheelbarrow that's in my yard now, that's in my shed, and it's probably, well, I know it's at least 35 years old, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's got a solid core tire that I bought after the fact. It has a plastic body, but it has wooden handles. And over time, those wooden handles deteriorate, and you have to replace them. Well, mm-hmm. to replace the wooden handle, I mean, you can buy the wooden handles, okay? Easy. But try to put those wooden handles on the old wheelbarrow. You've got to have a drill. You've got to have new carriage bolts and washers and nuts to go on them. It's an absolute nightmare. Even if you're handy, putting new handles on a wheelbarrow is a disaster. So find a wheelbarrow that has a plastic body, solid core tires, and a metal or fiberglass handles. That wheelbarrow will last you the rest of your life. Now, you're going to pay $150 for it probably. And mm-hmm. Even if you find one that doesn't have a solid core tire, you can always replace that later because those are available. You can change mm-hmm. over from a tube tire to a – but those three things are things you need to look for in a wheelbarrow. And I know it sounds kind of silly that I'm spending so much time on that, but when you're out in the garden, the last thing you want is to have to stop what you're doing and mm-hmm. go find some handles that broke or put air in the tire – or, mm-hmm. I have to replace the whole wheelbarrow now because the metal has rusted out. So
right.
those two things are really, really important when you're looking for a new wheelbarrow.
Yeah, and I know because we did have one that was metal and it ended up rusting out. And what I ended up doing was kind of covering it with plastic during our picnic, and you know, with one of those kind of tarp things, and filling it with ice and using it to put the beverages in. So,
I like the way you think.
So
you
go. That's what I ended up doing.
That's a girl of my own heart. I like that.
Well, you know,
I like that
okay.
a lot.
Waste not, want not, you know, so it's like, you know, this will be cool, you know, just throw the ice in there and put the drinks in there and you're good.
It's a cooler.
Yeah, it's a cooler. But
I like
also,
it.
Too, the metal wheelbarrows are very heavy and you have enough, especially if you don't have, let's say, solid ground, you have a hard enough time wheeling those things out because they're very heavy and you're trying to keep the balance on them. So, and then also too, one of the things you were talking about in terms of not getting a metal handle, but getting fiberglass, because if it's sitting out in the heat for a while, those handles are going to get hot, and if you don't have a long gloves, you know, you're going to feel it. So that's,
you know,
the other
they also make wheelbarrows with two wheels. I don't know if you've ever seen those. And
yeah,
I'm thinking,
I've seen those now.
You know what, when I'm gardening and I need a wheelbarrow that has two wheels because whatever I'm doing is so heavy. I just turned 70. I need to find somebody to do that kind of work because I'm not doing that. Not with two wheels. Ain't happening.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. You know, sometimes you just got to say, okay, this is somebody
sometimes
else's turn.
You got to cry uncle, right? You got to cry uncle sometimes.
Yeah, that's so true. We're going to take a quick break. We are here with Robert Bowden on Wednesday. We're spending Wednesday in the garden. And if you have questions or comments, the number is 516-387-1944. G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. We'll be right back.
This is Douglas Dobbs of Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service. We have served the Central Florida community for 29 years with quality funeral and cremation services. Honoring all religions and faiths, we have been here for many grieving families. Whether it's a complete funeral service with a burial or a simple, dignified cremation, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service is here for you. Located at 430 North Kirkman Road at the 408 Expressway, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service, 407-578-7000. 7720. Dobbs, dedicated to serving our families.
Over the past 60 years, Dove Beauty Bar's superior formula has remained unchanged. But when it comes to beauty, everything changed. Together, we redefined beauty. We said no to stereotypes and yes to every type. We let go of judgments and embraced what makes us unique. We're proud to have been there with you, caring for you every step of the way. Here's to the next 60 years.
Good afternoon. Welcome to G's Power Hour. I never had it so good entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. We are back with Robert Bowden, spending some time in the garden, and he's giving us tips on keeping our tools maintained and different tools you might want to get for the beginning gardener or for the gardener that needs to replace their tools, and, you know, some timelines also in terms of what you need to do in terms of keep getting those tools cleaned up after you garden so that they'll be ready for the next time. So Robert, because like I said, we are, I would say coming up, but we are in the midst of busy season. You know, we just celebrated Mother's Day, so there may be some tips for her as well. We've got graduation coming up. You know a young gardener, that might be some good tools to get for them as well. And Father's Day, of course, and then Memorial Day weekend, of course, the big weekend, and you're probably trying to get your yards straightened up for your picnics and whatnot. So, Robert, what kind, I guess, plants should we be planting right about now? Is it too late to go ahead and plant the pennyroyals to keep the mosquitoes away?
No, pennyroyal is an herb that is basically a ground cover, and it's only half an inch tall, but it spreads really well. We use it in the herb garden as a ground cover, and you can pick up a handful of that and spread it on rub it on your arms and your neck and so on, and it's really good for that. Herbs traditionally in Florida, especially in Central Florida and South Florida, have a tough time in the summer because it's just so gosh darn hot. And not only hot, but humid as well. So things like basil and oregano and culantro, not cilantro, but culantro, will all do really well this time of year. I know a lot of people have tried thyme, for instance, in the summertime and have very poor luck with it. But the real secret with growing thyme in the garden in the summertime is making sure that you plant it in a container that is up above the ground. So you would put that in a container with basil and maybe some marjoram, and then the thyme would kind of flow over the edge of the pot. So it would soften up that edge a little bit. And the reason we do that is because of the air circulation. You know, thyme grows pretty close to the ground, and it's hot, it's humid, and we get those afternoon rains, and it just doesn't like that humidity, and they'll just sort of melt away. But you can very easily grow thyme in a container. Just plant it on the edge of the container in the good potting soil and let it kind of flow over the edge, and it does really well. You notice, too, I said culantro and not cilantro. Both have the same flavor.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Cilantro actually is the number one consumed herb in the world.
Wow.
And people love it. It tastes really good. You can use it in all sorts of recipes. Unfortunately, it does not grow here in the spring, summer, and fall. You can plant the seed. It'll grow, and it'll bolt and flower and die in a matter of 3 or 4 weeks. So there is another plant called culantro, C-U-L-A-N-T-R-O.
Right.
And it actually grows more like a dandelion. It doesn't look at all like cilantro. It grows just like a dandelion grows, but you harvest the leaves from those, and you use those as you would cilantro, and it tastes exactly the same. It's got some weird flowers on it. You know, they'll flower about 6 inches tall above the plant, and you can't use those in the recipe. You have to just cut those off and continue to cut those off as the summer progresses. And then, sure enough, when October comes, you can go ahead and plant cilantro again and be happy with that. So herbs have a tough time in the summertime here in Central Florida.
I wanted to ask you also about something that I saw on a show recently, one of those home improvement or whatever, or gardening shows. And it was talking about planting a garden in raised beds and everything to avoid certain critters like mold and whatnot. But they also mentioned something about using, I guess, gravel. It was something mixed with gravel in order to keep the molds from accessing some of what you're growing. But what do you recommend in terms of keeping away molds and other types of critters that might, do some damage to your garden?
Well, first of all, you mentioned raised beds, and you know that I retired about 9 months ago from Lou Gardens after 30 years. I still teach classes there.
Right.
I teach about 8 classes every month at the gardens, and I have a raised bed class coming up on this Saturday. So just go to Lou Gardens Eventbrite and look at all the different classes that I teach there. And it just happens that raised bed gardening is one of this weekend, and you can still sign up for that. I don't think it's sold out. Raised beds are wonderful because you can control the soil. You know what you're putting into the ground, where you're going to grow your plants into. It's really good to keep some things like armadillos out. Maybe even some dogs or some other pets. You can grow vegetables and herbs where the soil may be too wet and you might not be able to grow vegetables otherwise, or you may even be able to grow vegetables where the soil has been contaminated. I had a neighbor who consistently tried to grow vegetables in their backyard and it wouldn't make it. And finally, one of the other neighbors said, well, that's where Charlie used to work on his cars. And, there's oil and antifreeze. And, if you put a raised bed in there, it's perfectly safe. So raised beds are great, especially for us old people, not including you, but including me. If you put them up like a 2x10 stacked on top of each other, then it's higher up and you don't have to bend over as much. So it's good for people with disabilities as well. But in Florida, we really don't need to put anything in the bottom of a raised bed. It's especially true if you live up north where you've got things like groundhogs that will bury underneath the wood and come up in your raised bed and eat all of your things. That isn't the case here. And moles don't bother raised beds. The moles are after earthworms and grubs. They're strictly carnivores. They're not interested at all in your squash or your peppers. So you don't need to put anything. So you can take usually a raised bed is a 2x10. Piece of wood, pressure treated wood, that's 10 feet long. And then you have two pieces that are 4 feet wide, and you simply nail them together as a box, and you fill it with 30 cubic feet of potting soil, and you're off and running. You're ready to go. It's pretty simple. It makes for a wonderful garden, and we recommend that you water it by hand, and you're probably doing that every day or every other day. And it's a great way, especially here in Central Florida, where we have such sandy soil.
Right.
It's a great way to grow vegetables and herbs. And even though it's really hot, there's still a lot of stuff that you can grow in a vegetable garden now. You can grow sweet potatoes and rosemary and collards. There's all sorts of wonderful things. Black-eyed peas you can grow. So, you know, people may say it's just too hot. You're right. It's too hot for things like tomatoes. Those are going to start shutting down. But, you know, you can still grow peppers. You can still grow peppers as long as you water them enough. And there's lots of other fun things to grow, too.
Yeah, get those sweet potatoes growing, and then you can, I guess, can you freeze sweet potatoes?
I would assume so. You can freeze anything.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, some things do better than others in the freezer, and that's what I was wondering.
If you plant sweet potatoes now, they will be ready to be harvested late September, early October, and then you will harvest them. You brush off a little bit of the dirt, and you store them in a dark location that's as cool as possible.
Oh, right.
I don't know where that would be, but
I remember
and then
you
by,
mentioning that, like in the garage or something. Yeah.
Yep. And sure enough, you're probably going to harvest them around the 1st of October or so, and then as if by magic, these potatoes, which are very starchy, are going to change during a 45-day period. Just in time for Thanksgiving, they're going to change into lots and lots of sugar, and they're going to be very, very good to eat. So plant them now, harvest them in October, and eat them on Thanksgiving.
Robert, thank you for taking the time out to be with us today. I'm going to have to look up that Eventbrite schedule and get it on the D's Power Hour Facebook page so that everybody can look you up and register for the classes. So glad
thank
to have you on today. Thanks for switching schedules. Really appreciate it. You take
Not a
care.
Problem. Always nice to hear from you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And thank you all for listening. Like I said, Tech Thursday is tomorrow with Burton Kelso. And remember, he has a Facebook Live class at 2 p.m. this afternoon. Don't miss that. Trying to keep you from getting your Bluetooth hacked. So this has been G's Power Hour. I never had it so good entertainment. I am your host, G. Be well, be safe, be blessed. And please remember, all real power comes from God. Take care.